this morning. So we're so glad for all of our kids, all of our teachers, all of you parents, and what a commitment that you have made to have your children here to know more about Jesus Christ. Also, this time, we're rearranging things a little bit in our worship service. At this time, we're also going to dismiss anyone who feels a desire or need to pray with one of our elders. At this time, you can be dismissed, and a couple of elders and their wives will be out in the atrium. Elders are just blessed to be able to pray with you, whether it's prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of need, questions that you may have, whatever it may be, they're here for you. And so meet them out in the atrium, and they will take you to a classroom over here to my left, a little bit more privacy. So we're changing things up just a little bit. But again, I want you to know that the elders really want to be here for you. And they're open at this time in our service and anytime. Their phone numbers are on the messenger there, right on the front page. And so you can contact them at any time that you need some spiritual guidance. As the elders mentioned in their video, the leadership of the church is really asking all of us to kind of look at ourselves and how we're living out our lives as followers of Jesus Christ in three particular areas. One is worshiping. We think it's real important. We know it's real important for us to be together. I mean, isn't this great? I mean, Basil leading us in song and just being brought into the presence of God and experience His holiness and just to realize that, man, there's more than the news. There's more than what's happening in this world. There's something so much greater, so much more profound that we're called to really dwell on. And as we enter into God's holiness and we meditate on Him as we worship Him, then we find the motivation and the ability and the desire to be holy as He is holy. And so we're asking everyone just to commit as a member of the Park Avenue Church of Christ to be here in worship, to be here to celebrate what God has done for us. In addition to practicing the spiritual disciplines of prayer, scripture meditation, fasting, and other ways that you connect with the holiness of God. And then also we're asking everyone to be involved in a smaller community, like our discipleship-making communities that meet throughout the week, some on Sundays, some on Wednesdays, some on Tuesdays. Lots of opportunities for you to develop these spiritual relationships. Even outside of those, we invite you to have some spiritual friendships. Who are the people that you can go to for spiritual advice? Who are the people that are encouraging you to enter into the presence of holiness? Who are those people that are warming you up, pulling you up out of the water and bathing you and taking care of you so that you can swim a little bit longer? So establish those spiritual relationships with one another. And one of the ways of the Park Avenue Church of Christ, the structure that we have in place, are a discipleship-making community. So if you're not part of one of those, then contact Lance or contact one of the ministers and we can get you in touch with one of those. And then our third challenge to each member of the Park Avenue Church of Christ is to find your purpose. How are you going to serve within the church? And in the broader sense, how are you living out this life of a servant of Jesus Christ in all of the places that you live, work, and play? So have you really developed that heart of being a servant? Does that define who you are in all of your relationships? Do you see yourself as an integral part of this body of Christ, and how are you serving? So last week I introduced a little slogan that's not new to us. We've been using this for a couple years, but pray, people, purpose. The pray is just how are you connecting with God, the holiness of God. The people, how are you connecting with other people, establishing those relationships. And then purpose, how are you serving? How is God using you? And again, on this Covenant Sunday, we really want to emphasize and land on that concept of service. Passage is Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, but I want to give you a little bit of the context of that statement. Earlier in verses 43 and 44, Jesus says, whoever wants to become great among you, and that's a good thing, to want to become great. But if you want to be great, Jesus says, you must be a servant. You must make yourself a servant to other people. And if you want to be first, then you must be a slave. And then verse 45, Jesus says, even I've done that. Even the Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve And to demonstrate that, I'm going to give my life as a ransom for many. I'm going to pay the price for your sin. Boy, that's a deep passage. We can go many different ways. I want to make 2 points out of this passage. Number one, Jesus is saying that servanthood is the pathway to greatness. I got to remind myself of that all the time. If I want to be great in the kingdom of God, if I want to be a great person, if I want to be first, then I've got to make myself last, and I have to be a servant. And Jesus isn't just calling us to be servants and slaves so they can have a bunch of people to boss around. Jesus is really giving us the secret of life. He says, this is it. You want to be great. You really want to experience life. Make yourself a servant. Make yourself a slave of all. And then in this passage, Jesus makes it clear, I'm not asking you to do anything that I haven't already done and that I'm going to do. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes to the church there, and he says, in your relationships with other people, I want you to have the same mind that Christ had. And then he starts talking about how Jesus Christ humbled himself, did not hang on to this glory that he had as the pre-existent Word of God, but he emptied himself and became a servant to the point that he gave his life for us. So Paul says, that's the type of mind that you need to have, to look at the example of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 13, beautiful story, it's been referenced a couple of times already in our service. Jesus washes the apostles' feet. A very humble act of service. And this was the night that he was betrayed. This was the night that he established the Lord's Supper. But before he leaves, he wants his disciples and for all of us to know that a mark of a follower of Jesus Christ is this humble service. And basically, Jesus says, hey, I'm your teacher, I'm your Lord, I'm your master, and if I am doing this, then shouldn't you also be washing the feet of other people? He says, now that you know those things, you will be blessed if you do them. Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything that he hasn't already done. In fact, in Mark chapter 10, before our theme scripture, I did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus makes that prediction. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be handed over, and I'm going to give my life. It's pretty simple. If you want to be great, if you want to be significant, if you want life, then you serve. If you want to be like Jesus, then you serve. Then you give yourself. But I know that sounds so counterintuitive, doesn't it? Because we say to ourselves, I don't want to be a servant. But the fact of the matter is that we are all servants. It's just a matter of who we choose to serve. You're serving someone. You may be serving yourself. You may be doing everything that you want to do. You may be serving someone else in your life. That you put them first, and I'm going to do everything that they tell me to do. Or you can be serving righteousness. You can be serving God. So it's not a matter of being a servant. We all make decisions and choices every day. We serve someone. It's just who are we going to be slaves of? Who are we going to be servants of? And that's Paul's argument in Romans chapter 6, essentially. He just boils it down to two choices. Either you are a slave to sin or you are a slave to righteousness. Now, if you're a slave to sin, just giving in to every selfish fleshly impulse that you have, every pleasure that comes your way, if you are a slave to sin, then you're free from righteousness because you're not following, you're not obeying God. So in a sense, you're free, but you are in another sense a slave. Or you can make the choice to be a slave to obedience, a slave to righteousness. And in that case, you are free from sin. But then he takes it even further. He says, when you make this decision about who you're going to serve, don't just look at that decision. Look at where that decision is going to lead you. Because Paul makes it clear, Scripture makes it clear, if you want to be a slave to sin, then the outcome of that is death, always death. It's always going to be death. That is going to get you only to death. But if you're going to be a slave of righteousness, a slave of obedience, he says the outcome of that decision in your life is going to be life. He kind of wraps up that section in Romans chapter 6 with a very familiar verse, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. If you want to be a slave to sin, then you will get what you deserve. You will get your wages. You will get death. But if you choose to be a servant of righteousness, of obedience, then you won't get what you deserve. You will get this free gift of eternal life. So listen, you're a slave to someone. You're serving someone. So the choice is not just who you will serve, but what do you want as the outcome of your life? Do you want it to be death? Or do you want it to be eternal life? Let me take you a few passages. What does it mean to be a servant? And again, we can go in several different directions, but I'm going to take you to three passages as we consider what a servant's life looks like. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. Paul says, "And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful." Let me read a couple of other translations. The New Living Translation. "A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people." Or the English Standard Version. "And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil." Now, if you're in 2 Timothy there, this is in the context of how we confront false teachers. That's one thing that Paul warns Timothy. He's a minister. And there are people who are spreading doctrines and teachings that are not in line with the apostolic teaching. So how do we deal with those people? He says we've got to deal with them. We've got to confront them. But Paul says to Timothy, we have no right to be rude or insulting to people who we disagree with. We must be able to teach, but we must do that in a way that does not betray our love for all people. We remain kind. We remain patient. We don't quarrel with people. A servant of the Lord is kind, even with people that we don't agree with. We're able to teach. We know the Word of God. I'm going to get to that a little bit later on. But we do that, demonstrating the love and the kindness and the mercy of Jesus. So as a servant of Christ, does that describe you? Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Again, Paul writing to a church, another church, Colossae. He mentions this person, Epaphras. We don't know exactly what his role is in the church. He may be a leader in the church there in Colossae, maybe the minister, maybe an elder. He's not designated, but he has some important role there, and Paul points him out. He says, "Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings." And then describing this servant of Christ, he says, he is always, listen to this term, wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Wrestling in prayer for you. A servant of God wrestles in prayer for other people. You know, we have a term, we use it quite often, prayer warriors. It's a good term. But maybe we should call us prayer wrestlers as well. Maybe we need some Hulk Hogan's of prayer, some John Cena's of prayer, that really get into it and really take it seriously. Are you a person who prays for the welfare of Christians all around the world? Are you a person who wrestles in prayer for this church? Are you a person who wrestles in prayer even for those people that you disagree with, even your enemies? A servant of God wrestles in prayer. How that speaks to me. Paul, earlier in Colossians, he talks about, Paul didn't even know these people, most of these people. He'd never been to Colossae. But he talks about it in chapter 2. He says, "I'm contending for you." And it's a form of that same word, wrestling. It's not quite as intense, But he says, I'm contending for you and for those in another church, in another city in Laodicea. So Paul says, I am just wrestling with you. And he certainly included in that sentiment as he's praying for these people to grow and to be fully mature in Christ. Are you really a person of prayer? A servant of God is a prayer wrestler. Let me take you to one more passage, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Now, this passage doesn't use the word slave or servant, but it uses a word that is pretty much synonymous, a worker. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy. He says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. Now, a couple of things here. Number one, a servant of God is not ashamed. Now, if you are a servant of God, you wear it. You own it. You let people know. You don't back down. We let other people know in whatever ways that we can, in gentle ways, in kind ways, sometimes in confrontational ways, always with the love of Christ flowing through us. We want other people to know that we belong to God, that we are servants and slaves of Jesus Christ, and never be ashamed of that. Our world is calling us to back down. Our world is calling us not to be so vocal about what we believe in. A servant of Christ is not ashamed. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. If you're a Jew, a Gentile, whoever it is, a worker, a servant, a slave of righteousness is not ashamed. And then he says, you correctly handle the word of truth. So what we are is we dedicate ourselves to the Bible. We become students of the Bible. And as that other passage said, we're able to teach. So a servant of God knows what he's talking about, knows what she's talking about, because they study the Word of God. They rightly handle the Word of God. Man, we have so much information out there. It's wonderful. You can Google anything. You can find all kinds of information about any topic whatsoever, including Christianity and religion, and there's lots of teachers out there. Many of them, probably most of them, are good, but not all of them. There are some people who are not rightly handling the word of truth, and we need to make sure that we are students of the Word of God. One of my college jobs was working at, when I was at Lubbock Christian University, worked at Dairy Queen. And it may not sound like a very complicated job, but it does take some training. You need to know how to make those sundaes and those banana splits and how to make a proper ice cream cone. And let me tell you, man, I could make a perfect soft serve ice cream cone. I still can do it. Proud of it. But you'd have to study the menu. So when someone ordered something, I mean, you knew, you rightly handled the menu so that you could prepare whatever that person ordered. That's what Paul is saying to me. You better know what you're talking about. You need to rightly handle the word of truth. Isn't it frustrating when you go to a store and you're asking for some information and you're asking, where is this certain item? The person kind of looks at you like they've never been in the store, but they've got the vest or whatever it is, and they'll think a little bit, I think it's on aisle 16, and you know, the right-hand side. And so you go down aisle 16, and it's not there, and it just frustrates you, and you're thinking, hey, why is this person even working here? They must not take much pride in their job. They don't even know where things are. Or if you go to a restaurant, Henry and I had this experience not too long ago. Went to a restaurant, and we asked what was in this certain item on the menu. It was something we weren't familiar with. And the waitress, she just looked at us, and so she started making up stuff. She just started saying all these different things that were in the sandwich. And then she said, I better check with someone else who knows something. She comes back, and everything that she said was in the sandwich was not in the sandwich. Very frustrating. You know, how dedicated are you to this job? If you want to be a good worker, if you want to be a good servant, then you've got to know your business. You've got to know the Word of God. You've got to know the menu. A servant of God knows the Word of God. So a servant is kind to people as we stand up for the truth. Servant of God is a prayer wrestler. And a servant of God rightly handles the word of truth, not ashamed to tell people what they believe. Today is Covenant Sunday. And we, really not we, but Jesus, is calling you to be a servant. Because we, and not really we, but Jesus, wants you to be great. He wants you to find greatness in your life. He wants your life to end not in death, but in life. We have a great church. Got one amen out of that. Thank you. We do. We have a great church because we are full of servants. We're full of people who use their time, talent, and treasure, and they make it available to the Lord. And to any degree that we are great or we are influential in our communities, it's because we have adopted this servant heart. And God has used this church for over 100 years in this community to be a light to the world. It's because of people who are servants. But you know, it's an odd thing that as you serve God, He always seems to give you something else to do. I think that's a biblical principle. To whom much is given, much is required. To him who has, even more is given. And so it seems as if there are always these new opportunities that are presented to us. New ways to serve our community, new ways to help missionaries, new ways to just participate in this kingdom of God. And so as these new opportunities are placed before us, we want to be able to be ready to answer that call and to serve. You'll be great only to the extent that you become a servant. And God's people will only be great to the extent that they make themselves servants. So where is your passion? Who are you serving? Who is your Lord? Where is your love? What's the most important thing to you? What are you seeking first, as Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount? We're going to sing this beautiful song. And it's putting into music what Jesus said in response to what is the greatest commandment. And when you talk about love, I mean, it encompasses all of these things that we're talking about serving and making yourself available and giving of yourself. It says you've got to love God and you've got to love your neighbor. And if you love God and you love your neighbor, then naturally we're going to give of ourselves. I want to be great. I want this church to be great. And we can be. We are. We can be even greater as we take on this challenge, not to be served, but to serve. And to truly love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Let's make that commitment in song. Let's stand together and sing.
Love one another, for love is of God. He who loves is born of God and knows God. Does not know God, for God is love. God is love. Love one another, for love is of God. He who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not.
so many here today in person, and certainly if you're online, we're glad that you're with us as well. It's just good to see so many of you today. You know, we have this time of prayer, and right here at the end of every service. Today we talked a lot about servanthood, and certainly you've all been challenged to that. I was thinking about James' passage where he says, you know, real religion is looking, well, not being polluted by the world and looking after widows and orphans in distress. And I think about this body and how much we see our widows do here. Is that amazing? Amen. They're serving, and he's telling us to serve them. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. And that's close to my heart. I appreciate all that you do. Serving is sometimes messy. It's easier to sit on a pew than it is to serve messy people. I think I read a book one time about the messy Messiah, and that's what it is. That's what service is. It's sometimes messy, but there's something every one of us can do outside of serving myself. It looks different for Todd, for me, for you ladies as widows. It looks different, but there's something out there that we're called to do. That's why we're different from the rest of the world, or that's what we're asked to be, is different. So thank you for the challenge today, Todd. Thank you for your commitment to body for making that pledge to serve. There are some praises, and I just can't help but to just thank you, Lord. Craig Dennis, you've heard the news about him, and what a miraculous, his health has taken a turn for the better. We give God praise. I'm looking out here, and Thana's here, and we've been praying for her and Kim, and I know it's so hard, Lord. I'm thankful for Kim. I see Jesse back there and Roy and those that we've been just continuing to lift up. And there's others that are home with ongoing issues, and there's some that still have serious issues ahead. I'm not sure if Denise is here, but certainly Denise and Kim and Mike that have serious health issues. And then our weekly bulletin, if you will, or messenger, it's got a whole list of people with ongoing problems. But I just want to close and say, Lord, we're thankful for the physical healing, but part of service is looking out and seeing that the fields they're ripe for the harvest. We've got people around us that are lost, and that's the most important thing, that we don't forget to continue to spread the word that Jesus is the way to God Almighty. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we are just so thankful. We give you praise today for just a good day. We continue in this prayer just to worship you.